heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name. I am so wondrously saved from sin. Jesus so sweetly abides within. There at the cross where he took me in. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name. O precious fountain that saves from sin. I am so glad I have entered in. There Jesus saves me and keeps me clean. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. There to my heart was the blood of mine. Glory to his name. Come to this fountain so rich and sweet. Cast thy poor soul at the Savior's feet. Plunge in today and be made complete. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory.
Thank you, Brother Taylor. That was good, wasn't it? Amen. Well, I appreciate all the good singing tonight already. I know it's blessed your heart, and good to see all of you back. Good to see many of you in your team colors. Somebody asked me, said, why didn't you wear yours? I said, because it looked too much like Duke Blue, and as bad as they played today, I didn't want to be associated with them. But that wasn't the reason. My shirt I wore yesterday, I need to wash it, and I didn't get it out in time, so I didn't bring my blue shirt. So, blue team, please forgive me. Amen. But I don't have green or red on, so I'm still on your side. Praise the Lord. So excited about youth service tonight. Excited to see the results for February of all the outreach. And I know you are as well. So we're going to get right into it. And excited to hear the youth choir tonight. Let's pray together and then you can be seated. And we'll hear from the youth choir. Father, we're so thankful that we are saved and we're washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. And I pray tonight that if there be one that does not know Christ as Savior, tonight would be that glad day of salvation. Father, we need help from heaven. We need to hear from you tonight. I pray for our young people as they participate in the service. I pray for your man as he preaches tonight. God, that you just speak and we'd be not only hearers but doers of the Word of God. And Father, we need you tonight. Our church needs you. Our nation needs you, Father. Our homes need you tonight. We just pray and plead and intercede on the behalf of others that you would do something supernatural in this service tonight. And for what you do, what you accomplish, we'll thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. You can be seated.
Amen. That's some good singing right there. I'm so glad there's a brighter day coming. There, we don't have to worry about this no more, Brother Mark. All the sickness and all this stuff going on, we don't have to worry about it no more. There's a brighter day. We're going to see our Savior face to face. We don't have to worry about the trials no more. We're going to see Him face to face. I'm so happy, and we can sing page 57 at Calvary. Amen.
Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me He died on Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free, pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary.
Turn around, fellowship, as the choir comes down.
God's word, and I learned. Then I trembled at the law I'd spurned, till my guilty soul imploring turned to Calvary. The mercy there was grace, and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. of Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. Oh, love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary.
And the next song is He's Able.
Amen.
Amen.
He's able, He's able, I know He's able. I know my Lord is able to carry me through. He's able, He's able, I know He's able. I know my Lord is able to carry me through. He healed the brokenhearted and set the captive free. He made the lame to walk again, and He caused the blind to see. He's able, He's able, I know He's able. I know my Lord is able to carry me through.
We're going to do that one more time as the ushers come through. Think about it. He is able. Our God is able to go to do anything. Any trial we're going through, God is able to get us to it. Think about that when we sing this. He's able.
He's able, He's able. I know He's able. I know my Lord is able to carry me through. He's able, He's able. I know He's able. I know my Lord is able to carry me through. He healed the brokenhearted and set the captive free. He made the lame to walk again, and He caused the blind to see. He's able, He's able, I know He's able. I know my Lord is able to carry me through.
Good singing.
Good job, Brother Taylor. Wonderful singing tonight from the youth choir. And boy, I enjoyed the musicians. Peyton did a good job on that, didn't he? Hannah did a good job. And Brother Taylor, he's getting the hang of it up here. Amen. Amen. We're going to receive our offering, and then our Sunshine Choir is going to come up and sing for us. And, hey, Levi, my voice is scratched. You want to come up here and pray for us? Come on up here, buddy. Levi's going to come pray for us, and I know he'll be a blessing. I'm going to have to pick you up, old buddy.
Again.
All right, you pray for us.
Dear Lord, thank You for this day with all You've done for us. I pray that You'll help everyone, whoever's preaching tonight, Lord. I pray that You'll convict anybody's hearts and save them. Pray for the missionaries that's going to be here, the new kids. I pray that everybody that's going to come here will get saved, Lord.
Yes.
And especially me and the pastor and everybody else, Lord. Pray that they'll get saved, Lord. And in Your precious name, amen.
Amen. Good job. Thank you. Wonderful job tonight. Thank you, young people. I do want to take just a few moments to recognize some people that have achieved some certificates for reading their Bible. And so Miss Rachel Hart read the book of Joshua, Haggai, the book of James. And so Miss Rachel, where are you at? You come get your certificate. There you are. Then Miss Leah Hart read through the book of Revelation, which is a hard one, amen, and the book of Joshua, and the book of 1 John, and the book of Colossians, and the book of Ecclesiastes. So Miss Leah, you come get your certificates. Wonderful job. All right, well, I appreciate our young people and them participating in the service. And so, Brother Brandon, you going to come give us our updates for the month?
All right. Okay. I was looking back over the totals for since we started, and we'll go from what we've been doing, the individual teams and their weekly invitations and points they've achieved. And let's start with the red team tonight. The red team has got 650 points from this past week of handing out invitations and sharing the gospel and the people that they've had as visitors. And I don't have those specific numbers with me, and I apologize for that. But so red team has 650 for this week. Green team has 528 for this week as points. And then the blue team has 794. Amen. So, anyway. So, looking at the total weekly outlook church-wide with total points, we're looking at 1,972 for this week. Okay, and that's invitations given out. Okay, in this past week. Invitations, 1,972 invitations. And, of course, the blue team done very well this past week with that. Looking at our monthly invitations, the red team for monthly gave out, let's see here. Yeah, for the red, they gave out 1,517 this month. Green team gave out 1,335. Blue 1,392 with a total of 6,341 invitations for the month of February. Amen. Yes, sir. Now, the big one for our yearly outlook is this. Red for the year so far has given out 3,951. Is that right? Where are we at? Okay, that's my bad. Year for the yearly for the Reds, 4,280. The green team, 3,353. The blue team, 3,779 invitations for the church-wide total of 11,412 invitations since the start of January. Amen? That is fantastic. 11,000, over 11,000 souls witnessed to by the church and giving out invitations. The next slide is our main totals for the year for points-wise where the teams are. And red has 3,951, green has 2,833, and blue has 3,799 total points for the yearly outlook. So with that, we see that the red team is pretty good ahead of the blue team. Not by much, though. It's pretty tight. It's really tight across the board. And so that's what our yearly points total looks like. So red team, congratulations on being ahead so far in that. You can clap for the red team. It'll be okay. Blue team, you're doing good. You've made a comeback on that. Green team, we've got to pick it up, okay? We've got to pick it up. I know we're the smallest group. We're the smallest group. So, you know, we're the smallest. It means to be mentioned a few more times. But anyway, great job to the church. Wonderful job all the way around. And, of course, at the end of the year, the team that will win gets this beautiful trophy to keep for the team. And just thank you for over the 11,000 invitations being given out so far. That's the main thing, amen.
Yes.
Over 11,000 invitations given out since January. What a fantastic job, Currytown. And I know the Lord is honored by that, and he is pleased with that. So congratulations to that.
say, now, this is the pastor's goal. This is the pastor's goal. Every time we give an update, this is what the pastor has prayed about. And it is. But until it becomes your goal too, then you don't see the value in it. And so this year, we didn't really set a goal. You know, to be honest with you, Brother Mark, I thought, well, the way we're doing it, since we're not going in and on those days of visitation and just knocking it out, trying to get all this done, I thought, man, we'll probably be less than what we were. And do you realize that if you keep up what you're doing, you're averaging about 5,500 invitations a month. That is 66,000 invitations given out. Now, I'm not saying that's what we'll do. We could. We may go more than that, may go lower. But I'm just saying that that is phenomenal. And when you think about the fact that, as Brother Brandon mentioned, 11,000 people have gotten the gospel in their hand. And that is what's important. And I believe, as we've said before, when we make it our business, God's business, our business, He'll take care of our business. And I'm glad that we're seeing that. I was telling the deacons every Sunday morning after Sunday school, I'll stand in my office, I'll look out the window, and I'll watch the cars come in. And, you know, there's been some times I'm looking out thinking, man, there's two or three rows of parking spaces. Nobody's even in. And this morning I was looking, and there were about two or three parking spaces out there that were not filled up. And that's a blessing. It sure is. And what you're doing is working. And I appreciate all that you're doing. And thank you for the good song. I remember, Brother Mark, the day I put Lodabar in my rearview mirror. And I said, I'll not go back there. And the only way you'll ever have victory in Jesus, like we sang about, is put Lodabar, the type of the world, in your rearview mirror and say, I'm never going back there ever again. I'm eating at the king's table. I think I'll just hang around there, praise God. And you'll have victory if you'll do that. But I appreciate you being here tonight. Appreciate Brother Jimmy and the good job he's doing with the children's ministry, and Brother Matt and all of those that are working. I know you work so hard down there. And I know a lot of times it's probably one of those things, since it's out of sight, it's out of mind. And you feel like nobody appreciates you. But I want to tell you how much we appreciate you. And also Brother Jimmy for what he's doing down there. And Brother Matt, excuse me, I sound worse than I am, I promise. And I'm glad Brother Jimmy's preaching tonight, because I don't have a voice. So Brother Jimmy, you come preach. I know he'll be a blessing to you. And it's been a help to our church. And so you come and preach what the Lord lays on your heart.
Thank you. I misunderstood what we were doing with the trophy. I thought we were going to hold it month to month, you know. And I guess it'll stay down there to the end of the year. But I appreciate your red team doing a good job, and everybody doing a good job. I'll be honest, I was like the pastor when we decided we sat down and Brandon and I and Jose and all of us sit down, pastor, talking about what we're going to do with visitation. And I didn't think it would be this good, but the whole church as a whole. But now, and I want to say something, and I want this to be a word of a challenge, maybe not encouragement, because some of it may not be encouragement, but a challenge. 6 or 7 weeks ago, Brother Brandon cut my hair. And I don't know if he remembers this or not, but I got there, and one of the first things he said, he says, I thought your team was going to pull it out. And I said, yeah, they did pretty good, but they ended up losing to Virginia. All right? Went back, cut my hair again. They had just lost again to Virginia. And he said, who'd y'all play? And that's the way he put it first time. I thought y'all was going to pull it out. Who'd y'all play? You know, I don't play basketball, but that's what he referred to it as. And he'll talk about Carolina. He'll say we. If you're talking about the Panthers or UNC, he says we. Well, when you're talking about visitation and somebody says what a good job Currytown is doing, are you part of the we? Are you part of the we? We all need to be part of the we. Right. I can't do anything to help NC State win a basketball game. I can scream at the TV all I want to, but they're not going to play any better. But what I can do is help get those tracks out, help witness to people, and help tell people the gospel. And we can all do that to some degree. We can't all do it to the same degree, But we can all do it to some degree. Whatever the Lord enables us to do, that is what we need to do. I didn't have my space in the Bible marked here. Forgive me. Let me get turned to that. 2 Kings chapter 20. Now, we're not going to read that right now, but you can go ahead and get turned there. 2 Kings chapter 20, verses 1 through 11. I moved my stuff around this morning, talking to a young man down in there, so it got me sort of messed up here. Now we're ready. 2 Kings chapter 20. I'll give you the title, if they hadn't already put it up, I'll give you the title in just a moment. Give a little intro. Try not to be too long. I got two intros and 3 points and a conclusion. So, I remember when, we'll pray after we read the scripture. I remember when our first child, Michelle, was born and we were watching her begin to grow. And all you parents can remember this, think about this. And each new thing, I remember when the first time she turned over, you know, as a baby. And I remember different things in her growth. And I'd be talking to people, and actually several people made this statement to me. Oh, when she gets up walking and running around, you'll wish she was a baby again. I thought, you're crazy. I want my child to grow. You know, if I wanted a little baby all the time, I'd have bought a toy poodle. But I wanted my child to grow, and this is the reason. But I knew I would not want her to stay a baby. I knew I wanted her to walk, run, play, explore, and to learn. I knew we were going to teach her how to do these things. We were going to teach her how to behave as a toddler, as a child, as an adolescent, as a teenager, and as an adult. That was our responsibility as parents. And that's what we were going to do. And we take that same aspect as Christians, as young Christians. As Christians, we need to learn to walk like Christians. Listen, when you're born again, I met somebody on visitation yesterday, on bus visitation. He just got saved in December. That man does not know all there is to know about Christianity. He hasn't had time to learn. Now, he's working at it. He's going to church. And he goes to Brother Hutchins' church. And I talked with him just a little short while. But you grow and you learn as a young Christian, and you want to walk like Christians. The pastor said the other night, we want to walk by sight. That's what we have to learn to be able not to do, actually. As young Christians, we watch older Christians. But if Christians always walk by sight, now wouldn't we look funny? Now, when my little girl was born and she'd raise her hand, you know, she'd stand up and she'd hold her hand up and I'd grab it and she'd walk. Wouldn't we look funny as Christians doing that, holding her hand up? So we're not supposed to walk by sight, but we're supposed to walk by faith. And it's like us reaching out, always wanting to know and be, you know, physically be sure. But we need to spiritually be sure in the direction that we are walking. Mature Christians should teach young Christians how to walk, live, and work for the glory of God. Young Christians should watch mature Christians walk by faith. But there comes a time when we need to let go of the teaching hand of sight and walk by faith. Walking by faith and not sight is not walking blindly. It is instead walking with a clear view of God's will. It is seeing what cannot be seen. And it is a learning process. Even as long as I've been saved, Brother Mark, as long as you've been saved, and some of you in here have been saved much longer than we have even, it's still a learning process. But we need to have that desire as a Christian to walk by faith. The title of the message tonight is Faith to Live By is Faith to Die By. 2 Kings 21 through 11. You stand for the reading of the Word of God. In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death, and the prophet Isaiah the son of Amoz come to him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. That's a bold statement to make to a king. Then he turned his face to the wall, as Hezekiah, and prayed unto the Lord, saying, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. And it came to pass, before Isaiah was gone out into the middle court, that the word of the Lord came to him, saying, Turn again to tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people. Thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer. I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will heal thee. On the third day thou shalt go up into the house of the Lord, and I will add unto thy days 15 years. And I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city for mine own sake and for my servant David's sake. And Isaiah said, Take a lump of figs, and they took and laid it on the boil, and he recovered. And Hezekiah said unto Isaiah, What shall be the sign that the Lord will heal me, and that I shall go up into the house of the Lord the third day? And Isaiah said, This sign shalt thou have of the Lord, that the Lord will do the thing that he has spoken. Shall the shadow go forward 10 degrees, or go back 10 degrees? And Hezekiah answered, It is a light thing for the shadow to go down 10 degrees. Nay, but let the shadow return backward 10 degrees. And Isaiah the prophet cried unto the Lord, and he brought the shadow 10 degrees backwards, by which it had gone down in the dial of Ahaz. You may be seated as we pray. Lord, I pray that you would take the word of God that has been read in the ears of tonight of everyone here. Lord, I pray that you would open their hearts to hear your word preached tonight. Lord, open our minds and our tongues to preach exactly what needs to be preached. Lord, I pray that what is said tonight would be to help to each individual here. Lord, help us to live by faith. Help us to walk by faith and not sight. Help us to trust you in every move that we make. And Lord, most of all, we do pray if there's one here that's never received Christ as Savior, give them the faith, Lord, and give them the understanding to be saved tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. But what a message to go in before a king and say you're going to die. Now, it was God's message. It's what God said to do, but he could have been executed. If somebody were to go in before the President of the United States and say you're going to die, they would be in jail. They'd put him in jail. No two ways about it. But God's message, good or bad, must be preached. Amos 3 and 8 says, The Lord has spoken, who can but prophesy? When the Lord gives you a message, preachers, young preachers, if the Lord gives you a message, you better preach the Word of God. Not what you think somebody wants to hear, not what somebody tells you to preach, unless it's God tells you to preach that, and it better come from the Word of God. It's easy to tell, because if it don't come from the Word of God, He didn't say preach it. So it's pretty easy guideline there. But Hezekiah accepted the message without becoming angry. A lot of times in the Old Testament, you read where the prophet come in and said this, and the king would put him in prison. Or the king would kill him. And they'd go ask somebody else, a false prophet, because they knew they would say what they wanted to hear. But they'd end up killing the prophet or putting him in prison. But Hezekiah didn't do that. Each of us one day will face death. We know this, number one, because of God's Word. Hebrews 9 and 27, It is approved unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Even down to the young children, once they reach a little age, they understand what death is, and it's going to happen to all of us one day if the Lord tarries his coming. It's a fact that's going to happen to each one of us. We know it because of experience, because we see it. We see it happen. We know that happens to people. And we go to funerals and so forth, and we know it, we read it, we hear it, we see it. And in today's world, I was thinking the other day, what was it, there was five killed somewhere. And about 5 minutes later, I thought, you know, if that happened 15 years ago, I'd have been turning every TV station I could. I'd have been turning radio on. Of course, I didn't have the internet back then. And trying to find out what went on. But you hear about it so much now, Oh, my goodness, I pray for the family. And you don't even think about it anymore. Because it's such commonplace. But we know death is going to happen to each of us. In studying the life of Hezekiah, we learned that he brought great revival to Israel. He defeated the Philistines. He brought tremendous prosperity to Judah. He defeated the Assyrians. All that he did by faith. And because he lived by faith, he had faith to live by. When it came time when the prophet stood before him and said, "Thou shalt not live," told him he was going to die. He said he had faith still in God. He didn't get mad at the prophet, but he turned to God. We're going to look at three things from our text tonight. Number one, the prophet's warning. Number two, the king's prayer. And number three, the Lord's reply. The prophet's warning, 2 Kings 20:1, "Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live." Isaiah come in before the king. He made that short statement. He turned around and started walking out. That's just a brief statement. That's not what he wanted to hear. Let's look at the circumstances surrounding Hezekiah at the time of that warning. The Bible says that Hezekiah was sick unto death. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. If I lived back that time of the prophets, and I was about to die, and I seen a prophet coming in, I'd be happy. Because that's my chance to live right there. And in my thinking, Hezekiah's probably thinking, he's going to come in here and he's going to heal me. He's going to miraculously heal me. God has sent His man to heal me. And so Hezekiah, he comes in before Hezekiah and says, "Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live." Turns around and goes back. I don't think that's what Hezekiah was expecting to hear when Isaiah walked into in front of him. He was in the prime of his life. He was 39 years old. 39 years old. In a time where God said man's time is 80 years. He wasn't even halfway there yet. Now he was sick, but he still had hope that he was going to live. He thought he would recover. At 39, you think you can recover from anything. James 4:14, "Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even as a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away." We don't know what that time is. So we should all be prepared for that time. Doesn't matter if you're old or young. Hezekiah wasn't old. He was still a young man. Sick or healthy. Now he was sick, but he still thought he could pull through this illness. Doesn't matter if you're poor or wealthy. Sometimes you hear about what somebody left somebody. Left somebody millions and millions of dollars. They still left it, and it's not theirs no more. Somebody else has got it. It's going to happen. Doesn't matter if you're well-known or unknown. When God says it's time, it is time. The contents of the warning. "Thus saith the Lord." Thus saith the Lord. Now, if I went to a doctor as a Christian, and I went to a doctor, and he come back in there, and he said, "I got some bad news. You're going to die." 2 weeks, 2 months, 6 months, whatever he said. I think this would be my first thought. God has the final answer. Right. I know it'd be some shock, but I would know God has the final answer. But Hezekiah wasn't talking to a doctor. He was talking to a prophet. Yes. Yes. And if you study the Word of God, the reason you're called a prophet is because every time you say something's going to come to pass, it comes to pass. Right. Everything Isaiah says is going to happen, it happened. And so when he said it, he knew it was time. Today God speaks through His man, through His Word, through the preaching of the Word of God. Sometimes it may be difficult what we hear, what God lays on our hearts through the preaching, but it must be heeded. The Holy Spirit speaks to your heart through the preaching of His Word. Now you may not be facing death. You may be facing a sickness, a loss of a loved one, a loss of a job, a friend turns against you, You may have a boyfriend, girlfriend breakup. Let me say something right there. That can be rough. That can be rough. That's real pain. But if we're a Christian and we've got to live for God, we can face it. All these things are hard things. If you have faith to get through these things, if you have a faith to live by, if you've been living for God, when these things come, they're difficult. I'm not saying, okay, you live for God, you lost your job, and you're smiling all the way through it. But you know that you have a God to turn to. You know that you can turn to Him, and you know that He is listening. He knows what's going on. As I said, set thine house in order. Hezekiah was a young man. At 39, you haven't thought a whole lot about death. Now, he was sick, so he probably considered some, but there hadn't been much time in his life that he had been thinking about death. He needed to get his affairs in order. If he was going to die, the number one thing for Judah was, who was going to be king? He had to name the next king. But when he gave the message, he didn't say, repent and get thy life in order. He said, get your affairs in order. His personal affairs. His spiritual affairs was up to par. They were there. He didn't have to go back and say, oh, I wish I hadn't done this and I wish I hadn't done that. But the Bible says he was living for God when this happened. So he didn't have to go back and repent. He didn't have to say, oh, I wonder if this is happening because of what I have or have not done. Then he told him, thou shalt die and not live. It meant that death was imminent, could come at any time. He was to prepare, get his affairs in order with urgency. Short message, turned around, prophet walked back out. Now we'll talk about the king's prayer, verses 2 and 3. Remember now how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. He heard the message that he was going to die and he responded with prayer. Here is where we see Hezekiah's dying faith draw from his living faith. Because he was living for God, because he had been to God in prayer before, because he had had difficult problems before and went to God, he went to God.
Good.
That's who he went to. He was used to going to God. He didn't have to wonder if God was hearing him or not. He didn't have to think, well, I'm waiting for Sunday to go pray. The Bible says that he got the message, he turned his face to the wall and prayed. Immediately, for privacy, he turned around. He didn't try to go somewhere else. Immediately, he went to God in prayer.
That's good.
By looking at his life, we see that Hezekiah was pious, he was prosperous, and he was prayerful. 2 Kings 18, 5 and 6. He trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him. For he clave to the Lord and departed not from following him, but kept his commandments which the Lord commanded Moses. Now let's cover the meaning of pious so we don't get mixed up on what I'm trying to say here. Pious, religious, devout, God-fearing, church-going, spiritual, prayerful, holy, saintly, godly, dedicated, reverent, dutiful, righteous. Pious is a strange word because the opposite of pious is pious. A hypocrite that does these things is pious. But a man that does them for real is also pious. He was a pious man. There were four virtues that he had that we read in the Word of God that made him pious. First, he trusted God. We just read in verse 18:5, he trusted in the Lord God of Israel. We must trust in God if we are going to please Him, if we are going to be godly, we must trust in God to put us in that position. We need to trust Him, first of all, as Savior, that we recognize that we are a sinner, that Jesus died on the cross for our sins, that He shed His blood in payment for our sins. Then we must recognize Him as Lord, because He bought us from out of the pits of hell. He owns us. We live for Him. He is our Lord, and He is our Shepherd, that we must allow Him to guide us through life. So he first trusted the Lord. Then the Bible says in verse 6, he clave to the Lord. To cleave to the Lord. The Bible uses that word several instances. It says that a man cleaves to his wife and they become one flesh. That's about as tight as you can get. So he claved to the Lord. The Bible says that Ruth clave unto Naomi. She turned her back on her old life and she stuck to Naomi, and God made her the great grandmother of David, King David. And she was nobody. She was not an Israelite. She came from another country. But because she clave to a godly woman, God was able to use her. A shipwrecked sailor cleaves to anything he can find floating. He doesn't let it go. That is the meaning of the word clave. To cleave to the Lord. You don't let go of the truth of the Word of God or of the Lord. Thirdly, he departed not from following Him. Who was the greatest king in the Bible? Now, if we read about David, we will definitely find out that David was the mightiest warrior king in the Bible. If we read about Solomon, he was definitely the wisest. He was definitely the richest. But Hezekiah was the greatest. The Bible says, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him. It says that after he trusted, it says he trusted the Lord.
That's good.
He trusted God more than David, more than Solomon, more than any other king. If you read through all the kings, you'll see many of them did good, many of them did evil. But this is the one that God said trusted him most. You know what God loves? Obedience.
Right.
Not sacrifice. Doesn't say Hezekiah made the greatest sacrifices of any king. What it's saying is here, he obeyed more than any king.
That's right.
He was the greatest king that Israel ever had. But Hezekiah was the greatest. Fourth, he kept his commandments. 1 John 5:3, for this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous.
Right.
He followed what God said, and that made him a righteous man because he believed and trusted in what God said. So he was a pious man, he was a prosperous man. 2 Kings 18:7, and the Lord was with him, and he prospered whithersoever he went forth. Because he lived for God, because the Lord was with him, he was a prosperous man. We, Currytown Baptist Church, will be prosperous when it can be said, the Lord is with them. The Lord is with you. The Lord is with me. If the Lord's with you, you're prosperous.
Right.
There is no other way about it. If the Lord's with you, you're going to prosper in whatever you're doing. And spiritual prosperity is worth having. We fight for the financial prosperity, but as a Christian, we should be going after spiritual prosperity. So he was pious, he was prosperous, and he was a prayerful man. Second Kings chapter 19, verses 14 through 19. And Hezekiah received the letter of the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up into the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord God of Israel, which dwellest between the cherubims, Thou art the God, even thou alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth. Thou hast made heaven and earth. Lord, bow down thine ear and hear. Open, Lord, thine eyes and see. And hear the words of Sennacherib, probably didn't say that right, which has sent him to reproach the living God. Of a truth, Lord, the kings of Assyria have destroyed the nations and their lands, and have cast their gods into the fire, for they were no gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore they have destroyed them. Now therefore, O Lord, our God, I beseech thee, save thou us out of his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord God, even thou only. Even thou only. Yes, the king of Assyria did come in. Yes, he did cast all the other gods down because they were wood and stone. But Hezekiah said, God, you're not wood, you're not stone. You are the God, the only God. Look down on what they're trying to do to us, God, your people, God. Look down, and to glorify you, God, you just get rid of it. I'm just going to leave it to you. You just take care of it. Notice that then when he prayed, as I said, he was used to going to God in prayer. And then when he turned his face to the wall and prayed to God, and he reminded God of what he had done, he didn't turn his face and say, Lord, if you let me live, I'll do better. He was the best king there was. He didn't have to repent. Listen, it's always better to take out of savings than it is to take out a loan. And when we go to God and say, God, I'm going to do better if you'll do this for me, that's a tough loan to pay back. But if you can go to God and say, God, I've been doing my very best. Lord, you know that I've been living for you. Lord, when you've told me to do it, I've done it. I've tried to do everything. Lord, if there's any, I don't know of anything that I haven't done my best at to do what you said to do. And Lord, now the prophet has come and said, I'm going to die. Lord, help me. He turned his face to the wall for immediate privacy. He begged God to remember his past works. Now some of you here, if not all of you, have something that you're struggling with to some degree. When you go to God and pray, can you turn your face to the wall and say, Lord, you remember what I've done for you? You've instructed me and I followed that. Lord, can you help me? Or would we have to say, Lord, let me get this straightened out, and then I'll come back and ask you to help me. Bible said he had a perfect heart, a whole heart. His whole heart was turned toward God. The Bible said, good in thy sight. Lord, I've been good in your sight. You've been watching me. You saw what I've done. You know my heart better than I know my heart. And God, you know that I have tried to do right for you. He followed God's word. Then the Bible says that he wept sore. The Bible says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And the key word there is righteous.
Yes.
Hezekiah was righteous because he trusted in God. He did the works because he trusted in God. He wasn't righteous because he did the works. He was righteous because he trusted in God. And because he trusted in God, he did the works.
Right.
Availeth much. In this case, the prayer availeth 15 years. Then we have the Lord's reply. Verses 4 through 11, we've read it already. But it was a message of healing. The Lord replies, tells Isaiah, he says, go tell the captain of my people. Well, if he is still the captain of his people, that means he's still going to lead Judah.
Right.
He's still going to lead the nation of Judah. Just to clarify a little bit, Israel, the ten tribes of Israel, has already gone to Assyria. He's already defeated that part of Israel. Only Judah is left. And he said, "You are the captain of my people. Tell the captain of my people, I have seen thy tears." In other words, I know your prayer. I heard your prayer. I know your heart. I will heal thee.
Right.
God can and will answer our prayers. It was a message of healing. It was a message of help. He said, "I will add." He added 15 years to Hezekiah's life. He said, "I will deliver." He said, "I will deliver you from Assyria for my sake. And I will defend." If God is our defense, we don't need an offense. Verse 35 of chapter 19. "And it came to pass that night that the angel of the Lord went out and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. That's 185,000. "And when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses." So you see, he didn't say, "Hezekiah, I'm going to enable you to defeat Assyria." He said, "I will deliver you from Assyria." So it was a message of healing, a message of help, and a message of proof. Now, don't ask God for signs. God doesn't work. We have the Holy Spirit now. But this was okay back then. He asked, "How am I going to know this is going to happen?" And he's, just in case some of you young people, I know you're real smart and everything, in case you haven't learned some of these things, about the dial of Ahaz. The dial of Ahaz was a sundial. Sundial is how they told time. I don't think very many of them had an Apple phone. But they told time by a sundial. The shadow of the sun went around. They had that dial standing up. The shadow went around. That's how they knew what time of day it was.
Right.
24 hours on that dial. Every time the earth went around, 24 hours. 24 hours. God said He's going to back that shadow up 10 degrees. 40 minutes. 10 degrees out of 360, 40 minutes. So it was a message of proof. He said, "How do I know?" Now, I thought about, what did God do to make that go back? Did He just say, boom, it's back? He could have done that. Did He turn the earth, whole earth back? I don't know. Or did He just turn that part of the earth back? I don't know. But He made that shadow go back 10 degrees to prove, to give Hezekiah the answer. This is how you know. We have the Holy Spirit today living within us.
Right.
When we live for God as Hezekiah lived for God, the Holy Spirit speaks to our hearts. And we have a message. When God speaks to us, we can discern the Holy Spirit and what He is telling us. Now, in conclusion tonight, why live by faith? Why walk by faith instead of walking by sight? So God can be glorified.
Right.
Look at this here. Here is a man that was about to die. And God says, "I'm going to give you 15 years. And here the people see God turn back time. And God was glorified because only God could have done that. So the reason that we do things is to glorify God. Whatever you are facing, be a Hezekiah. Trust God.
Right.
Cleave to God. Depart not from following God. Keep His commandments. Then when you turn your face to the wall, you know God's listening.
Right.
You don't have to back up and say, God, let me get things straightened out, Lord. Just let me hang on. Just hold the problem where it is. Let me get my life right with you and then let me come back. When you come down to the altar and pray for whatever you may need to pray for, is your life where God is going to listen to you? Have you been living for God? Have you been keeping His commandments? Have you been doing like Hezekiah and relying on God instead of relying on your sight and what you think is best? Good. So whatever your problem is, young or old, God can help you with it. But He tells us to be like Hezekiah. Hezekiah, let me read that one part about Hezekiah again. He trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him. He's the only one that God turned time back for. He held time one time. He's the only one that God turned back time for. Because he lived so close to him, God wanted to show him in a special way, I hear you.
Right.
I hear you. God hears us when he prays. If they come with the musicians come, we stand to our feet tonight. I hope the message tonight has been a challenge to each of us to live for God. Because we're all going to face things some point in our life. And I know some of you are now facing a problem. You've come to the point where Hezekiah was, sick unto death. The problem has got you back against the wall. The need is so great that you can't carry it anymore. Tonight, if you're here and you have a situation like that, if you're not in Hezekiah's position where you can turn to God and ask Him immediately, there's something in your lives, something in your heart, the Holy Spirit's telling you, you know, you need to get this straightened out. Come with a pure heart, a perfect heart like Hezekiah. Come to the altar and get whatever that is straightened out with God. And then tell God, God, my heart's right with you now. Lord, I've got a problem and you know what it is. Lord, show me what to do. Tell me what to do, Lord. Allow the Holy Spirit to show me and tell me what you need me to do. And then, after that, follow God. Keep His commandments. Cleave unto the Lord. And the next time something comes up, you're ready to turn your face to the wall and pray.
If you need to come tonight, for whatever reason, you come. I think while he's preaching, it sure is easier to walk by faith than it is by sight. Say, preacher, it's easier to walk by sight than it is faith. But think about this. When you're going on a trip somewhere, the kids are in the back seat. They're consumed with their media, or they're reading a book, or they're doing something of that nature. They don't have a clue where you're going. They're just along for the ride. Now, if they're trying to help you drive, saying, Daddy, what about this? What about this? It's a whole lot more difficult to walk by sight, isn't it? And you know about sheep, that sheep's eyesight's not very good. That's why they need a shepherd. When you think about this, if I've got a shepherd that is eternal, can know the beginning from the end, why would I not follow him? I was telling the deacons tonight, I said, we were talking about a subject. I said, I don't remember. I'm having trouble remembering 2 weeks ago. And you're the same way. But I want you to think about if you just turn it over to God. Say, God, it's yours. I'm not going to worry about it. I'm not going to stress about it. I'm just going to follow you because you're always right. Walking by faith, not by sight. It's going to play through just another verse or two. And if you need to come, you come. Maybe tonight you're struggling with your faith. Not your faith in salvation, but your faith in trust in God. For every little thing. Help us, oh God. Look this way. Thank you for being here tonight. Brother Jimmy, thank you for the message. I tell you, that's a challenge, wasn't it? We often, and all of us do it, we just, man, we want to do it our way, and we'll say, okay, I'm going this way, and this looks good to me, but you know what happens? We get turned around sometimes, don't we? Our side is not what it used to be. I was trying to read. Someone asked me, said, why don't you have your glasses on? I said, well, I'm not preaching, so I'll read my scripture. And I was trying to read the scripture, and I was holding it like that and it getting blurry. And I thought, man, I can't believe my eyesight is this bad. I can see you fine. But you know what happens is you get older, your eyesight starts going. And nothing you can do about it, I guess, except put glasses on. And I'm glad that we've got someone who walks ahead of us, knows the crooked places, knows the traps, knows where the enemy's likely to attack, and we can just trust him. And I know each one of us, as Brother Jimmy mentioned, have an area of our life that we're struggling with. And I want to encourage you as we close out tonight, trust him. He's never done wrong by you. Just trust him. Just turn it over and let him have it. And he'll never do wrong by you. Well, let's do this. If you'll be seated, we've got just a couple of announcements and we'll be dismissed in prayer. And young people, I want to tell you how much I appreciate all the hard work in the service tonight.
Here are a few quick highlights from your church bulletin that are around the corner here at Currytown Baptist Church.
Men, this is just a reminder of our men's prayer breakfast on March the 5th. Join the men of the church as they meet for breakfast at 8 a.m. After breakfast, the pastor will have a short devotion for all who attend. All men are invited. Teens, this is a reminder, there'll be a teen tubing and skiing trip Saturday, March the 5th. Brother Jamie and Miss Kenya will be leaving the church at 8 a.m. And for more information, please see Brother Jamie or Miss Kenya Reeves. Choir, this is a reminder of the choir spaghetti supper, which will be on Saturday, March the 5th at 5 p.m. For more information about food to bring and our items, please see Brother Brandon Harrison for more information.
For more information about our church, please visit currytownbaptist.com.